4 again tonight, Exodus chapter number 4. Appreciate all those who are offering me cough drops. That's a blessing. I've got one in my mouth, so I'm going to have to hold down a little bit or I'm going to suck that thing down my windpipe. Now, what that means is while I'm praying, Lord, keep it out, I know I'm traveling against people saying, Lord, put it in there, please. All these kind of things. Yes. Exodus chapter 4, we began a message this morning entitled Moses Answered, out of chapter 4, verse number 1. I'm just going to go back and tap on the head what we've already shared with you, and we'll pick up our sermon tonight with application point number 4. You're in Exodus chapter 4, look at verse number 1. And Moses answered and said. That's where we get our text tonight, Moses answered. We've already begun this morning. Again, we'll go back and summarize and then go forward. Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Pray, Lord God, that you help us to be faithful to you. Pray, Lord, that you give us power and strength tonight. I pray that anything in my heart and life that hinders you, I pray, God, that you'll reveal it. I confess it. I ask you help me to forsake it. Forgive me. Help me to be a clean vessel. May you help me to preach with power, I pray. And may Holy Spirit conviction fall where it needs to fall. Holy Spirit comfort fall where it needs to fall. Would you challenge us and comfort us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Bob, appreciate this water. You didn't put anything in that, did you? I trust you right here. You know, if I had it in me, I'd fake something. But anyway, we'll just go forward. In chapter 3, the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And from that burning bush experience, God told Moses that he had chosen him to go back to the nation of Egypt, the land of Egypt, to lead his people out of bondage. Now, you can go back and get most of this if you want to hear all of it in detail, but let me just simply say this as we try to introduce this again tonight. You would think that Moses, when he's standing before a burning bush, and this bush is not consumed, and the voice of God is speaking to him, you would think that that would get his attention to the point that his very next answer would be, yes, sir, I'll report for duty immediately. But if you understand what we studied about this morning, and we're going to proceed tonight, that Moses answered. Now, it's a good thing to answer, but a lot of times it depends on what you answer, if you understand. Moses' answer was not good. Matter of fact, three things we looked at this morning by means of introduction. When Moses answered the call of God, he refuted God's clear promise. In verse number 1, Moses said, listen, God, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to hearken to me. Yet in chapter 3, verse 18, when God was speaking to him through the burning bush, God said, they will hearken to you. So we see when Moses answered that he completely refuted God's clear promise. He denied God's promise. He told God he's a liar. Secondly, we saw that he tried to rationalize his own disobedience. We saw this in verses 10 to 12, where Moses said, I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and everything else. In other words, this was Moses' way of saying, God, you don't know this, but you made a clear mistake. In other words, you don't realize who you chose. I'm not qualified for this. And we understand that while some people would look at that as boy, isn't he such a humble man? Isn't he such a meek man? Now, he's going to turn into a meek man, if you will. And Moses was a humble man, but here, God here told him, he said, in verse number 11, I believe it is, he said, Moses, who made man's mouth? He said, did I not make the dumb? Did I not make the deaf, the lame? In other words, what you are, I made you that way. And I did it for a purpose. Then thirdly, we see that he not only refuted God's clear promise and tried to rationalize his own disobedience, but we noticed together this morning that he rebelled against God's will for his life. We see this in verses 13 to 17, that in verse number 12, God said this after he told him, I made you the way you are. He said, now, therefore, go. In other words, God's will in Moses' life never changed. The gifts and callings of God without repentance. And he told Moses, my will for you has not changed. Now you go now. He didn't say tomorrow. He said, now go. And he said, I'll be with your mouth and I'll teach you what you must learn. Verse number 13, Moses basically says this, send anybody but me. And like I told you, again, to our ears, that sounds like humility. That sounds like meekness. That sounds like a good thing. But notice the next verse says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. In other words, what man thinks is humility, God saw it as clear disobedience to his revealed will. Now, this being the case, we have just been giving some points of application. There's six of them. I gave you three this morning. Let me just mention them, then we'll go to number four. First of all, we notice together that there are no legitimate excuses not to obey the Lord. There are no legitimate excuses to disobey God. Every excuse that Moses gave, God refuted it. He gave another one, God refuted it. He gave another one, God refuted it. There are no legitimate excuses when it comes to obeying the Lord. Secondly, we notice together that we should base our service on God's will, not man's response. We saw that in verse number one where Moses said, God, they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to hearken to me. Now, we know that he was denying God's promise, but let's just say this. Even if God did not tell him, which he did in chapter 3, verse 18, but let's pretend like God did not tell him, they will listen to you, Moses. They will obey you, Moses. Let's say God didn't tell him that. It shouldn't make any difference to Moses because Moses had God's clear will to obey. But he was saying, I don't want to do it because I'm afraid they won't listen to me. I'm afraid they won't respond right. Then the third thing we looked at this morning is that God can use ordinary things for extraordinary purposes. We saw that with the rod that was in Moses' hand. God said, throw it on the ground. He did. And that dead rod became alive because God had his power within it at that moment. Now we start tonight with number four. And I want you to ask God to speak to your heart. Now, a couple of these are very short. They're short. I better not say very short, but they're short. By the way, I opened that package you gave me. You know, that was a blessing. Miss Judy Whitson gave me a package in a brown bag. It was stapled together. She said, I just couldn't resist. I did not open until after I preached because I had no idea what was in that bag. I pulled it out. It's a bag of caramel corn. It says Jody's special recipe. Amen. I'm going to put Jody's special recipe into the ministry tonight after the service. You say, why'd you say that? I don't know. My mind's clouded, so I'm liable to say anything tonight. By the way, if I walk off this platform, that's not on purpose. I'm not in the spirit. Somebody come pick me up, all right? Let me give you number four and ask God to speak to your heart. Number four, here it is. Obey the Lord even when you're afraid. Obey the Lord even when you are afraid. We see this in verse number four. Notice what happens. And the Lord said unto Moses, verse number two. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. He cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Let me translate what that means. It scared him to death. Okay? Wouldn't it you? I mean, hey, you have a rod in your hand, a shepherd's staff that you just been keeping your father-in-law's sheep out in the field. God says, what's in your hand? It's a rod. Throw it on the ground. It becomes a live serpent, and Moses is scared to death. He runs from it. Let me show you what happened. Look at verse number four. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, if you know anything about snakes, you don't grab that thing by the tail, friends. He said, put forth your hand, take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand. You say, Jody, what's the point here? It's interesting to note that when the rod became a serpent, Moses ran away from it. This tells me that he was afraid, he was fearful, he was scared. But notice what the Lord told him to do. He said, put your hand forth and take it by the tail. Now, I want that phrase, by the tail, to stick out right here. This would be an act of faith, because if you do not want to get bitten by a venomous snake or by a dangerous snake, but you can't get away from it. In other words, I know what I'd do. I'd run, and I'd scream like a crying baby as I'm running. There's no doubt about it. But if you can't get away from it, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to have to catch it. You're going to have to kill it or catch it, one of the two. But if you decide to catch the thing, you are not going for its tail. You're going for its head. Because what you're trying to do is pin its head down so it cannot curl around and strike you. God is putting his servant to the test here. He's saying, I know you're scared to death, but are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to believe me? And by the way, the Bible gives no hint that Moses hesitated, none. The Bible simply says he put forth his hand and took it. You know how God spoke to me in this? He spoke to me in this that Moses obeyed the Lord even when he was scared to death. You know, his faith to obey the Lord's command conquered his fear. And by obeying the Lord's command, he was the safest person in that place. What am I saying? God protected him and his fear was alleviated. Let me encourage us here that you and I know, and some of you are sitting there now, but this life is full of things that hit us that make us afraid. There will be things in your life, and again, some of you are going through some of these things now, that it scares you to death. It makes you afraid. You're concerned. You're nervous. Can I encourage you to do something when you're afraid? Just obey God. Now, this is so simple, it's ridiculous. But you know what happens when people get afraid? They make rash decisions. When they get afraid, they are getting, you know, afraid and fearful and all this. Oh, what's going to happen? What if? What if? What if? What if? At that moment, you are living on dangerous territory. And may I encourage you to think about Moses and what he did. Moses is rebelling against God here. His heart's not even right with God. And yet, whenever that rod became a snake and it scared him to death, God said, take your hand and obey me. Take it by the tail. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In this story, Moses didn't do a lot right, but this thing he got right. He obeyed God even when he was scared to death. Now, that's a great lesson for us to put in our back pocket, friends. Let me give you lesson number five tonight. Lesson number five we get from this story is this. It's not caught in my throat. It's still over here in the side of my mouth, so just keep praying for me. Unless you're praying for it to get stuck in my esophagus, okay? If that's the case, I need to meet with you after service right down here just for a moment. Number five. God is the answer to any problem you will ever face. Let me say that again. God is the answer to any problem you will ever face. For instance, Moses said, they're not going to listen to me. God said, what's in your hand? Throw it down. Became a snake. He obeyed God in spite of his fear. But after this, in verses 6 to 8, I've already read it this morning. So unless you want to hear me read it again, you can read it right there in your seat. But the next thing God said was this. He said, take your hand, put it into your bosom. That was like inside of his clothing, if you will. He said, take it out. And when he did, the Bible says his hand was leprous as snow. And let me say this to you. There are many problems today, and we as human beings will put our problems into categories. In other words, well, I don't have it as bad as they do, or nobody has it as bad as I do, or whatever the case may be. In other words, there are things that we dread, things we don't mind, but there are some things that you pray to God, God, please don't let that ever hit my life. May I tell you and remind you that back in this day, when this is literally happening, when Moses is sticking his hand into the bosom of his clothes and bringing it out, the most dreaded disease known to man was leprosy. It was the worst possible thing you could get. And notice how the Bible says there are no incidentals in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired that his hand was leprous as snow. I said this morning, let me emphasize it again. That phrase, as snow, is carrying the idea that that's not only leprosy, that's the worst leprosy you could get. If you had the worst leprosy possible, you were a leper as snow. What is God doing here? I'm telling you that what he's doing is he's showing Moses, I know you're scared. I know you think you can't do it. I understand all that. Let me just prove to you that if the worst thing possible happens, let me show you what kind of power I have. This is what he's doing. Because he said, now put your hand back into your bosom, pull it out, and his hand was completely healed. See, back in this day when a person had leprosy, especially white as snow, there was no cure. It was incurable. It was a death sentence. There was no hope for this person. They knew the only way they could survive is if God touched them. And God said, put your hand in there, take it out. There you have it, Moses. Put it back in, take it out. Now it's gone. I can take care of it just like that. What's he teaching us? Is it not obvious what he's teaching? He's trying to teach us that when he calls us to do something, when we have his will and we know that that's what he wants us to do, he's showing us that he has the power to cure any problem that rears its ugly head in our pathway. It makes no difference to God whether it's leprosy or whether it's chicken pox. He's the answer to every problem we will ever face. Now, I'm telling you something here tonight. I'm not throwing shots. Please don't ever think I'm doing that. I want to be a preacher that tells the truth, but I want to be a preacher that tells the truth in the right spirit. I want to say the right thing in the right spirit and the right attitude. But I'm telling you that your answers to your problems is not in the bottom of a pill box. It's not there. Now, I'm not saying that there are not some things that you cannot take and it helps you. I'm on blood pressure medication. I take blood pressure medication. I got it from my mother. She's here. God bless her. She gave me a lot of things, but that's one thing I wish she had never given me. I got it from her. Not that she's a problem. I'm saying genetically I got it. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not bashing that. I'm not saying that there's not a time when something can't calm you down or something like that. But what I'm saying to you is if you rely on those things, you're missing what life's all about. I'm telling you that if God can cure leprosy, he can cure your problems. I don't care what it is. Makes no difference how bad it looks. Makes no difference how bad it may seem. If people will give God an opportunity, he's the answer, he's the cure, and he can do it immediately if he so chooses. He really can. This is lesson number 5. Then lesson number 6. This is kind of coming back full circle. I ended this morning with saying that you need God. He doesn't need you. Just like God sometimes gives us things that the devil tries to use as weaknesses to stop us, but God reminds us, I made you that way. I gave you that just so you rely on me. So let me just end tonight with the same kind of thought. It's a different thought, but we're going in the same direction, in other words. We're looking at these thoughts together. What do we learn from this story where God meets with Moses out of a burning bush, tells him to go back to the land of Egypt, tells him to be his representative. He has God's will. God has proven himself. God's speaking to him through a burning bush that's not consumed. Moses answers. He does not answer right. He rebels against God's will. Even after God said, now therefore go, he said, go, send anybody but me. I'm not willing, God. He's rebelling against God. He's refuting God's promise. What God told him would happen, he said, no, it won't. Can you imagine that? Are you listening to me? We've all been guilty of that. We've all looked at God in the face and said, you are a liar, sir. Because any promise he's given you that you've not claimed or any promise that you've doubted in your heart, you're doing the same thing and I'm doing the same thing that Moses did. God said, they will listen to you. He said, no, they won't. This is the creature trying to tell the creator something. In his answer, we see he rebelled against God. He refuted God's promise. Then he started rationalizing his own disobedience. Surely, God, you understand this. And in all of this, we're learning together that there are no legitimate excuses to disobey God. We're learning that we should base our service to God on God's will, not on man's response. We've looked at God can use ordinary things for extraordinary purposes. We've looked at we're to obey God even when we're afraid. We've looked at God as the answer to any problem, no matter how big it may be. Then number 6. This is simple, but this is something that we all need. It is God's ability, not our ability, that makes all the difference. Let me say it again. I know it almost sounds like I'm being repetitive of the major thought of the lesson. May I say something to you? It's because I am being repetitive. I'm bringing us back full circle to the major thought of this whole story. And what God is sharing with him is it's not your ability, Moses, it's mine. For instance, in verse number 10, when Moses said, I'm not eloquent, I'm slow of speech, I don't know how to talk. God said, who made your mouth? Who made the dumb? Who made the lame? Who made them the way they are? Notice what he said in verse number 12. He said, now therefore go, and I will go with you. And I will teach you what to say. Now, what am I saying here? I'm saying this, that Moses told the Lord that he did not have the ability to do this mighty work that God had given him. And yet, Moses was looking at himself, and Moses was looking at his failures instead of God's power in his life. Let me make this statement here. Making our weaknesses an excuse for not doing God's will is wrong. For instance, this is kind of a trick question because of the way that I'm going with this message. Is it good for you to recognize your weaknesses? Yes, it is. But if you allow your weaknesses to keep you from obeying God, that now becomes sin. Now stay with me here. Miss Lashley put it this way, and I quote, "Poor doubting heart placed more confidence in an eloquent tongue than in the one who created it." God was not looking for eloquence. He was looking for willingness. To this excuse, the Lord reminded Moses that he'd made him the way he was, and that this was no excuse not to go back to Egypt. Because God said, it's not that you're going, it's that I'm going with you. He's saying it's my presence and my power that's going to make all the difference. We need to realize, as one person put it, man's weaknesses merely afford a platform on which God's power can be manifested. God did not need a skilled orator, but a willing servant who would depend on him. See, even after God told Moses that he would send Aaron with him, the Lord made it clear that he wasn't going to speak to Aaron, but Aaron needed to know what he said. So he said, I'm going to speak to you, Moses, and you can be God in his life. I'm going to speak to you, and you speak to him. What's God saying? He's saying, even Aaron needs my direction in this. Even Aaron, who is a skilled orator, even Aaron, who's everything that you say you're not, Moses, I'm going to send him with you just to try to help you a little bit, but even he needs me. It's not going to be Aaron's know-how. One commentary put it this way, the sailor has to be taught that he must not look on the dark and troubled waters, but at the clear blue heavens where shines the pole star. Moses was gazing at the surging sea of Egyptian wrath, and God taught him to direct his gaze heavenward, then to try and trust, for greater is he that is with you than all that can be against you. As an early Christian writer enjoins, let us not forget, as Moses did at first, that all God's biddings are God's enablings, and that it's for us not to ask the reason, but simply to obey. One person put it this way, we can never accomplish anything for God if we're going to keep our eyes centered upon ourselves. Whether it be upon our weaknesses or whether it be upon our strengths, we have no power of our own with which to war or to work. Let us run our race looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Let us remember that God can take a worm and thrash a mountain. Did you hear that last statement? Let us remember that God can take a worm and thrash a mountain with it. I'm telling you, Hudson Taylor, when he was asked why God chose him, why did God choose you to do such a great work? You know what Hudson Taylor said, and I quote, he said, God chose me because I was weak enough. That's what Hudson Taylor said. Did it stop him from doing something for God? Yes or no? No. But it caused him to thrust himself upon God and realize that if anything gets done here, it will not be me, it will be him. 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said to the Apostle Paul, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:1-5, here's what it says. Hey, do you think Paul was a mighty orator? You think he could speak well? You think he would mesmerize your attention if he stood up here in this pulpit? You may be sitting there, yes, yes. Can I say something? No, no. Let's hear what he said about himself. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Here's what he said. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined to know anything, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear And in much trembling, you know what he's saying? He said, I was scared to death when I was with you. Paul, yes, Paul. He goes on and says this, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here's what Paul said. He said, when I came to you, I was scared to death. And I did not preach to you with enticing words. You know what that means? That means when you left his service, you would not say, boy, what a preacher. I've never heard a man speak like that. Paul said, I didn't come with you with words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you with enticing words. He said, but I came to you in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 1:25 to 29, he said, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, get this, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me tell you what God has done in Moses' life. We're just about done here. I know that's a famous lie that I tell you over and over again, but I am trying to come to a close. I'm simply trying to say something to you right here. And you know, it's amazing that God has brought us to this chapter the week before the big day. Because the whole emphasis of this passage is this. Moses, I have a will for you. I can't do it, God. I'm not willing, God. You've made a mistake, God. I don't have the ability. And from the burning bush, I have made you the way you are. And I have given you what you have, because when you go back, you will not take the credit. You will give all the credit to me. Now, I hope you understand what I'm doing. I'm telling you, and I'm not lifting him up to praise him. I'm lifting him up to expose him. The devil is a master at taking what God has made you to be to make you think you can't do it. And the whole time God says, I made you so you come to that point in your life. But if you sit on the sidelines and refuse to get up and do it because you think God understands, that is now sin. That is not humility, that's pride. God is looking for people to say, I'm not eloquent, but I know what I'm not, you are. And all I know I need to do, God, is if you tell me to go, I will go. But if I go, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to help me. You're going to have to get it done. And at that time, God says, that's what I've been working for right there. Does this make any sense what I'm saying to you at all? We are all weak. All of us. God doesn't need me, friends. Some people try to refute that. He does need you too. No, he doesn't. He doesn't need me. But he wants to use me. And he's saying, I want to use you to the point that I have given you a problem in your life. It's my stuttering. But I've made you that way. My brother's not one. I don't know anybody else in my family that's a stutterer. I don't like my brother, but anyway. I'm kidding. It's interesting to me that God gave the one that he called to be a pastor the stuttering problem. You say, does that make you better than your brother? Absolutely. No, I'm kidding with you. No, I'm not better than him. And can I say this to you? He's the head football coach at Daniel Boone, and if he lets God use him, God's given him some shortcomings too to teach him to lean on him as well, to be the best coach he can be. But all I'm saying to you is this, God's not looking for perfect people. You're not perfect. Matter of fact, he made you with some shortcomings. He made you with some weaknesses. But may I say this to you as well? He also made you with some talents. There's not one person here who doesn't have at least one gift for God. Not one. The devil sits back and says, look what you can. You can't do it. He wants you to teach a class. Hey, he wants you to go knocking on doors. Hey, you can't do that. God understands. You're just not qualified. Can I challenge you with something? Listen to the Apostle Paul. I came to you in fear and trembling. That's what Paul said. I came to you scared to death. But I came to you in the power of God's Spirit. And God used Paul in such a wonderful way that he's now teaching us from the verse that he inspired to be in his holy word. Can I say this to you? Try God. Put him to the test. He's never failed and never will. You know what he's looking for tonight? God, here's my rod. It's common, it's ordinary, and it's all I have. I take my hands off. And watch God take what you thought was dead and nothing and put life into it and draw people to himself. So that when you reach down and take it by the tail and you pick it back up, it still just looks ordinary. But you realize when God gets it, it's extraordinary. And when he uses this ordinary thing to do something extraordinary, you don't sit back and say, boy, look at the gift I have. Look at that. I'm telling you, you just won't be like me. No, the whole time you're going to be saying, wow, you mean God can use somebody like me? I'll tell you the story. I'm closing. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate it. I'm going by memory here, but you'll get the basic gist of it. There was a preacher who was preaching in a large southern university. This has been many years ago. He was preaching on giving God your life, giving God your all. He extended the invitation. He noticed that there were a lot of student body leaders that were coming to the altar, like football players and campus leaders and cheerleaders and all of this. But this preacher looked towards the back of the auditorium and he saw a strange sight. He saw a man who was trying to get to the altar, but he wasn't walking, he was crawling down the aisle. He looked over at the president of the university, whoever it was, somebody in leadership, and he said, what is this I'm looking at back here? Who's this man crawling? And the president or whoever in leadership it was that he spoke to, he said, that's our cripple in this student body. He can't walk. But it looks like God's touched him, he's coming to the altar. He crawled all the way down from the back, is what I understand, from the back all the way down the aisle, and he got the preacher's attention. And he said, preacher, tell me something. He said, you said God can use anybody. And he said, I know God can use all these football players. And I know God can use these cheerleaders, and God can use all these student body leaders. They said that man looked up in the preacher's face and said, can God use somebody like me? And so that preacher broke and he began to cry. And he looked that young man right in the eye and he said, young man, God's been waiting for somebody just like you. He doesn't need much, friends. He's God. He just wants you to say, I'm not much. But I realize you're everything. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. May the Lord apply this to your life any way he sees fit. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for this time. Help us, I pray. Challenge us from the word of God. Comfort us where we need to be comforted. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Change us where we need to be changed. When they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you some questions. Question number one, are you 100% sure that you're going to heaven? Has there been a time in your life where you know without a doubt that you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? You're not basing your salvation and going to heaven on your good works or your baptism or church membership or your religion or your idols or anything else. But you're basing your salvation experience on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Oh, if not, He wants to save you. He wants to change your life. Won't you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Well, tonight we looked at three major thoughts. Thought number one is obey God even when you're scared and when you're afraid. Maybe you come to this auditorium and something's hit your life and you're afraid. It's made you scared. The greatest thing you can do is find what God wants you to do. Just keep obeying. Just keep obeying. Just keep obeying. Maybe the Lord took the next to last part because He can cure any problem you have. It makes no difference how big it is or small it is. God can cure it in a moment of time. That doesn't mean He's going to, but it means He has the power to take care of your problems. Maybe some of you just need to come and say, God, I have a problem. It's a big one. Or God, I have a problem. It's not all that big, but it's a problem nonetheless. Would you do with me what you did with Moses' hand? Would you help me to see my hand as a leper? If it be your will, notice I said if it be your will, would you heal this problem? If you don't choose to heal it, would you give me peace through it? I'm going to go forward. I remember tonight God's speaking to you because you don't feel like you can do it. You're not as gifted as He is. You're not as gifted as she is. But the Lord's been dealing with your heart about something. Maybe it's taking a bus route. Maybe it's taking a Sunday school class. Maybe it's just going door to door. Maybe it's just sharing your faith with your family. I don't know what it is. It's none of my business. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Jody, I know God's working in my heart this way. But I honestly feel like I can't do it. The message is this, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. But that good thing becomes a bad thing if you allow that to keep you from obeying God. But if you allow that weakness to cast you upon the Lord and you obey the Lord, then you realize all the good that comes out of it, you're not going to take credit for it. You're going to give it to God because you realize it wasn't your ability, it's His. I don't know how God's dealing with you. But if He's dealing with you, let's do business with Him. Come and talk to Him about it. Hey, it's a good thing when God speaks for you to come to the altar. Let me tell you one reason you ought to do that out of obedience. Let me tell you another reason that encourages my heart. I need encouragement. If God ever speaks to your heart, leave your place and come. Talk to God about it. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take the thought and use it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. As soon as he sings, if God has spoken to you about your salvation, your service, whatever it is, as he sings, would you leave your place and come? Would you do it now? Come now, please.
Take my life and let it be consecrated more to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of my love.
I appreciate you coming tonight. God bless you. Great Sunday night crowd. I appreciate it. Let me remind you of a couple of things as you leave. Remind all the teenagers that were downstairs. Before you go downstairs, if you'll just come right here, I won't keep you just a moment. And so on. Then we'll let you go downstairs for your little party that you're having. Let me remind you to take some of these flyers for the big day. If you're ready to sign up who you have committed to come, if you'll do that as you leave tonight. If you're coming to the breakfast, if you'll sign up your name. All these these kind of things, that would be good. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. See you Wednesday night, the good Lord willing.